No Jen, no Chewy today, so we needed a cousin sub of the day. So we went to the bench. We found our guy. You can find him, part of Mr. Irrelevant and that crew, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. Of course, the producer of KBN, and we host Green Bay Game Day together each and every Sunday before Packers games. Our cousin sub of the day is Mr. Haircut himself, Alex Stroh.
Mr. Haircut. Good morning. Hey, Rude. Watch that. Watch that finger, Joshy.
Yeah, because this is...
Oh, boy.
This
what,
was...
What?
Well,
what?
In previous instances, when you have made yourself content and fodder for everybody else across ESPN Wisconsin, like, that was your fault. You know, you put yourself out there, you decided that, hey, I can run a three cone and look somewhat athletic, and you can't. But this one...
Sorry, but okay.
This one was not your fault. Like, you just got a bad haircut, and nobody around here had the stones to tell you.
So similarly to when
this is not your fault. You can't see the back of your head.
Similarly to when I got the haircut on Tuesday, and the woman that did my haircut didn't show me the back of the head.
Yeah.
I feel similarly right now, because when I got here at 6:30,
mm-hmm.
I realized you didn't want to talk to me about the open of the show.
Sure.
Which typically you and I go back and forth and we go, okay, here's where we're going to start today.
Yeah, and already knew where we were starting, yeah.
Okay, well, can I just tell you this, since we didn't do this before the show? There is nothing I am more sick of talking about...
Than your haircut?
Than my crappy haircut. Because I got to work yesterday, so Wednesday is when it gets revealed to me. Hey, the back of your head looks like a half bowl cut. And
yeah.
I go, what do you mean? It looks like I have a fade. Why does it look like a bowl cut?
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it, because you're right. You can't see the back of your head. I'm not playing with mirrors a lot.
But I think you have the right to be upset with everybody here in the office.
Does that include you?
No, because I wasn't here to do a drive-by.
Sure, sure.
Like, everybody else apparently did. Did you notice that people were walking past you as you were sitting there getting ready for Irrelevant, getting ready for KBN at an alarming rate? Because the way I'm picturing it is just like people are getting up every 2 minutes to walk by to see the back of your head.
That was happening.
Okay, I was oblivious.
I had people saying, where is he? Can I go see him? Can we go walk by? The problem is with Stroh, he's in this sweet spot where he thinks if people are walking by and like looking at him and talking to him, they just want to see him.
Yeah.
He would never
I'm a bundle
suss
of
out,
joy.
Yeah, he would never suss out that there's potentially something afoot.
Well, here's the thing though, Joshy. Like you're 100% right. I think I'm the life of the party always. But on Wednesday specifically, I was in a really, really good mood.
Yeah, singing Sunday morning.
Rain is falling. Yeah. So, I'll get to that story. It has to do with what we're doing right now.
Why?
But so my girlfriend was gone all weekend.
Yeah.
She was out of town for business.
Well, and we had talked about that on Sunday. Like, she was gone the previous week. Like, you were doing all these different things.
Yeah. I was a mess.
Well, but you were talking about what you were making and all these different things on Sunday.
Oh, I made a good casserole on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the dog ate some. So, like, I needed her home. Like, I walked out of the room for 2 seconds. The dog, my 11-pound dog, is eating the casserole. I'm like, where's Allie when we need her? So she's out of town for work. She left Friday, got back Wednesday. So mm-hmm. I'm just a puddle of what I typically am. Like, look, I think I'm a pretty stable human being. She holds me up way more than I'd like to admit sometimes. So Wednesday, I was very happy she was coming home. And... So I was singing, I was dancing, I was excited, I was in a great mood, everything's going back to normal for me. And so Brian D., our boss, asked me, hey, are you good to do Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Friday? So I started singing, Friday morning, rain is falling.
Sure.
And I was all fired up because I love both of you guys, I love hanging out with each of you. Joshy a little bit less all of a sudden after I learned he lied to me and didn't tell me about my bad haircut. And so I just thought, like, everybody was like, wow, Stroh is a great ball of energy today. I'm going to go see what's up. It's the middle of the week. You know, like, vibes are low for some people in the middle of the week. So I thought people were just popping by to be like, what's up, Stroh? Come on, lift me up.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I think the bad haircut did lift a lot of people up and bring a smile to their face.
Gabe, come on.
Wednesday was one of my favorite days at work in a long time.
Thanks, I guess. What do you want me to say to that?
And just so you know, it was the perfect thing for you to sort of, for it to turn into a whole thing, because It is not your fault. We're not saying, oh my God, you're ugly. It's,
why does this feel like an intervention?
You got a better haircut.
Strofe, we want to tell you. We love you, and it isn't your fault.
I am ashamed for everybody else in the office who did not tell you. I understand that they decided to hold off for content purposes and bring Scalzo in here and do it on KBN. I don't think I would have been... If I was in the office from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., I don't think I would have been able to hold out for 4 hours.
I had to do a show with him. I had to look at him.
Yeah.
Me and him. Mano y mano. Hour. Commercial free. I just couldn't really look at him the whole time. Had to look past him.
Yeah, the fact that you held out for as long as you did, Josh, is amazing. I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Content,
Jen is
100% content.
Right. When we talked about this yesterday, Jen had mentioned, like, yeah, Gabe wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have been able to hold out. I would have pulled you aside like, hey, man.
Oh, this was brought up yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it on our show. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. What was said? I didn't hear it. I didn't even know this until
Well,
right now.
We brought Will in, who I think of everyone involved has skated the most
well,
on being
here's
culpable.
The thing. I think he lied to you guys, because I did hear about this a little bit. So he claimed that he suggested I go to her when in reality it was the other way around. I sent him to my barber and now she's in prison, my normal barber.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we covered that.
Okay.
I think what he was saying was once you lost your in-prison barber, he then said, hey, or you went to him and said, should I go to the same person you
do? So I was trying out a couple people at the same salon because I like that place. It's relatively close to where I live. It's relatively affordable. The people are very nice, good vibes, all that good
stuff. I learned that I go to the same spot. It's fantastic.
Yes,
it's
okay.
A great spot.
So we're on. Okay, good. You can vouch for me then. It's not like I go to like a name brand national chain where people are fresh out of college.
You're not getting the $15 haircut.
Right, no. I'm paying about three times that, which is it's not outrageous for a haircut, but it's not like I have a lot of hair. So anyway, so I'd been trying out some other people, and Will got a couple weeks ago, Josh, you will back me up on this, on what, I think it was more self-proclaimed than anything, but he got what was being dubbed the haircut of the year.
I believe Joshy said he was the haircut of the year. That's what Will said yesterday, is that Josh called it the haircut of the year.
He's been saying that I said that, and I never did. So I've just let him run with
it. Wow. Okay, so what I'm actually learning here is that Will carries some weight, because if I would have walked around and said, Josh said I had the haircut of the year, if you walked around and said, Josh said
he'd profusely deny it.
Correct.
Yeah.
But with Will, he just lets it slide.
I think it's funny because Will's always involved in a bit. He catches Strofe in bits unbelievably. And Strofe is never none the way. I just don't entertain Will, so if I ignore it, I hope it goes away type deal. Strofe gets caught daily.
At least once a day, yeah. His newest one that he really likes is he mentions the time, and then he shows me his phone, and his lock screen is a picture of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And he's just making me stare at it by showing me the time, even though I'm wearing a watch on my left hand at all times.
And you have a device that also has the time, much like his phone, in your pocket.
Yeah, but like if I did it to him, I'd just be like, my bit wouldn't be as funny. I'd be like, hey, I have a hot girlfriend, look. And he'd be like, hey, I have first place in the NFC North. Like it wouldn't balance out. So anyway, I trusted him after he got the quote unquote haircut of the year. And turns out, actually, I got the haircut of the year from the same woman. Just a little bit different of a tune to that one.
I mean, you can't disagree with the statement, Josh. He got the haircut of the year.
No, without a doubt. No haircut has made more noise across the office than the one Strofe got Tuesday night and led into Wednesday.
It was the haircut heard around the world. And so anyway, so I get it fixed Wednesday night.
Yeah.
After work. I go upstairs. Everybody... Here, I learned actually the number yesterday. We have 106 teammates in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
106 of us. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. Wednesday night at 5 o'clock after KBN, I go upstairs. Everybody that was still here wanted to talk to me. I'm like, I got things to do and I got to go fix this. And then I got to pick my girlfriend up at the airport.
I was about to say, yeah, you had to fix it, but I mean, you didn't really have things to do.
Well, I did. I had to clean the apartment. I had to pick up my girlfriend from the airport.
Okay, so you had to... We've all...
uh-huh. Go ahead.
We've all been there before.
Yes.
Significant other is out of town, and now you have to panic clean before you go get them from the airport or before they're coming back.
Total disaster, my dad. I mean, like I said, she left Friday. It was Wednesday. I don't think I did a dish the whole time.
Do you not have a dishwasher?
No, I do. But it was clean when she left. So I unloaded it Wednesday when she got home and reloaded it. Smart play by me. So when she got home, she heard the dishwasher running. She heard the washer going. It was like, wow, Alex really stepped up today.
I guarantee that's not what she thought. She was thinking, why the hell is he first running the dishwasher now? Is probably what she's thinking.
Yeah, because all she's got to do is open it and say, wow, that looks like a week's worth of stuff in there.
Well, well, it was. At least I did it. Anyway.
So you guys, in that move, what I do when there's out of town, I try and improve something more. So I keep the house at bare minimum the way it was left,
mm-hmm.
and then make an
one thing make stand
it,
out.
Make a visible improvement to at least one thing, because I want to say, hey, we're getting stuff done. It wasn't just vacation time while you were out of town on business. We were getting stuff done around here.
Yeah, no. But no, that's not how that works for me.
Well, no, I'm just telling you, Strophy, you need to learn that move. Like, you're young. Like, these are moves you need to be writing down.
Can I be honest with you? I don't think Josh is the one I want to take advice from in terms of relationship.
He's got a really good, healthy, I would say, healthy relationship. It's a great relationship.
What do we call her again? Mussolini?
Yep.
I should know this by now. As much as I love Mussolini.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Josh gets into the wrath of Mussolini more often than he should. Like, for example,
I feel like that's
Josh,
just a part
what are you
it.
Going on tomorrow?
Friendsgiving.
Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you, Josh?
2.
Publicly, say it.
Oh, well, wow. 2?
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually, that
well,
is.
I'm going to have some brewskis.
And the smart man behind the glass right now, if he was a smart man, would know she's listening to this. He's already been in the doghouse this week for saying, I'm not very excited for this Friendsgiving we're hosting on Saturday. I don't want people in my house.
Yeah, but I also, knowing Josh and knowing Mussolini the way I know them and have been around them enough, Josh was not saying that for the first time into a microphone for all to hear. He had first, the complaint was first lodged with management before he went out and started
correct.
Telling everybody
100%.
Else. So it's not like she was listening and
Gabriel.
Was news to her that she was shocked that Josh didn't want people in their house. She just doesn't care.
Congratulations.
That Josh doesn't want people in their house. And here's how I know, because Josh sent us yesterday yet another contraption that is belonging in their household that did not go through the CAP, the contraption application process.
And it was not a dehydrator or something different from the dehydrator?
It was an additional blender that makes, I believe, 3 that we have in the
house.
What's
the point of 3 blenders?
See, you never answered my question, because I asked if you already had one.
Well, we have the immersion blender. Got to have that one.
Yep.
Make it soups, things of that nature. I believe there is a bigger one, a bigger blender, your standard blender. And now we have one of the branded ones that everyone recognizes.
People have immersion blenders?
Yeah, I have one, yeah.
Yeah.
I just use a normal blender when I make soup.
I mean, you can. You can. It's just...
Less dishes, less things to move around.
Yeah, so if you've got something going, usually it happens to me if I'm using our, like, we make a lot of the soup in our Dutch oven.
Yes,
you know,
that's
just
exactly
kind of
where
big, you know.
Yep.
So you just throw it in there and just kind of blend it all up without having to transfer it into. Because now,
be
once it's
purchase.
In the blender, you're probably just going to put it right back.
Oh,
into.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Correct.
Yeah.
But. So now you can save having to wash the blender with the immersion blender.
If your wife are the subject matter expert on this, congratulations.
Okay.
You're the only married one on the panel.
All right.
You're the only one that's gotten a firm yes out of the three of us.
Okay.
You're already uncomfortable.
Well,
I like
no,
this.
I'm just saying. Just because I'm married doesn't mean that my relationship is necessarily better than anybody else.
He's such a good guy.
Nor is his relationship anything like the relationships we have in the room.
Well,
I mean, have you met Gabe's wife?
I have, yes, a few times.
Do you think she's a big force things on people? Or
no, not even in the slightest.
Better question. Have you heard my wife say any words?
I think very few, but yes.
So,
have you heard my wife say any words?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
I have.
We can't apply the same metrics
but
across.
I guess I was just going to bring up the hypothetical, which I'm sure has happened,
mm-hmm.
where you have to do something together mm-hmm. as a wonderfully married couple
yep.
that you're not very much looking forward to.
Again, that doesn't happen all that often because the asks are few and far between.
See.
And
dude,
it ends up being
you
like
know what I've
fun.
Realized?
What?
Gabe has the best life. Do you not?
Yeah, look, the asks from her for things that I need to do, like, I'm trying to think of the last thing she's like, hey, do you want to go do this? I mean, I think the last one, she won Bucks tickets through a chili cook-off that they did at her work. We got Bucks tickets for opening night. Yeah, let's go do that. That's fun. They do, so she works at Cristo Rey High School, and they do a Dancing with the Stars fundraiser every year. So I did not go this year, but she had an extra ticket for me 2 years ago, and that was a fantastic evening. Just great food, watching people dance up there.
I thought you were going to say you were dancing.
I thought you might have been one of the stars.
So yeah, me too.
I am surprised she has not volunteered me at this point, but she also respects, like, because this event is in the fall. And she respects that I have a lot of things going on during the fall.
Are you a good dancer? Always. How was your first dance at your wedding?
We didn't have one.
That makes complete sense.
We did not have one. So at our wedding, we did not have anybody stand up. We did not have any speeches. We didn't have a first dance.
A very small actual ceremony.
Very small actual ceremony.
I love that.
Yeah. We did a ceremony in our then neighbor's backyard that was 20 people tops.
Really?
Yeah. And then we had a big party. It was just, hey, if you want, we didn't have a DJ. My wife put together a playlist, which she then would manipulate later in the evening when we were all a little intoxicated. But hey, if you want to dance, right there. You want booze? It's over at the bar. You want food? It's in the back.
Remember when I said he has the best life?
Yeah. And you were heading towards this. Sometimes you just got to grin and bear it. And I tried to tell you on Irrelevant, I've been grinning and bearing it. That's all I do.
But.
I'm hosting that, now Halloween, yeah, Friendsgiving, saying, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I'm much more envious of Gabe than you. Now, I don't know how I got derailed on this, but I just wanted to add one more thing on the haircut. So yesterday, I haven't had the opportunity to say this yet, so I just need to get it off my
chest. The floor is yours.
When something bad happens to somebody, when you work with 106 people, 104 of you don't need to say the same thing. Yesterday I got to work, and the first thing every single person I saw said to me was, "Can I see the back of your head? Oh, it's better. It's not great." And I go, "Yep, better, not great." I guarantee I said that 100 times yesterday. Yep, it's better, not great. And finally, towards the end of the afternoon, somebody said, "Oh, you're sick of this, aren't you?" I go, "Hell yeah! So stop talking to me about my head."
We have finally found Josh. Nope. The type of attention that Strof doesn't want.
He wants 90 people to say something, but once it gets to 100, 200, 304, too many. Too many. That's a bridge too far.
No, that's not. That's. I don't think that's what Gabe was saying at all, actually.
I mean, he might have a point.
Gabe, you're supposed to be on my side.
I'm on my side at all times. Just remember that. We do have Jason Wilde, who apparently... Josh and I have another bone to pick with because our name keeps getting brought up all over ESPN.
I don't know that
Wisconsin.
He's on your side.
Oh, he's definitely not on our side. We'll tell you what we're talking about when it comes to Josh Jacobs. Coming up next is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Oh, no.
Good morning, gentlemen. Oh. How are you?
Wow.
I'm doing okay.
Pause.
I'm doing okay. How are you? Because you keep, from my understanding, you keep bringing up me and Joshy up on just about every show across ESPN Wisconsin.
Uh-oh.
Who are you, Will Smith?
I wasn't going to slap you when I see you on Sunday, but...
Keep Josh Jacobs' name out your mouth.
Yeah, but keep Josh DiMaggio's name out your mouth.
No, I'm going to
I keep. Never mind.
I've requested. Right. Yeah, I've requested none of this, by the way.
Oh, I have. Guilty.
You guys, I'll tell you this, and Josh DiMaggio, not to be confused with Josh Jacobs, acknowledged that yesterday. What was the word you used? That Brian Bulaga's. Yeah, Brian Bulaga's logical, calm, reasoned take on the Josh Jacobs influence on the Packers offense was much less abrasive than the way Josh DiMaggio has gone about discussing it, which that was kind of a trigger for me to bring up some. Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that you acknowledge that maybe your approach has been a little aggressive. But yeah, you guys, you know, I'm not a big believer in manifesting things to happen to other people, but with the amount that you guys were suggesting, I really hope that Josh Jacobs, who I had a lovely lengthy conversation with yesterday, and obviously Matt Schneidman from The Athletic was there. He took a little video at the early portion of it that people were wondering why I was wearing a Iowa State hoodie.
It looked good. It was good. It was a good hoodie.
Yeah. TJ Otzelberger, man, pride of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Wilson Park Baseball. Once got to coach him on a all-star team, and, you know, pride of UW Whitewater and the Cyclones coach. I think it was really interesting that Josh Jacobs acknowledged that as much as he wants to play with a game on Thursday right away, that maybe he has to fight that desire and maybe play the high side of caution. And I hope he does, because I'm very eager to see if your theory has an opportunity to be applied in a game from start to finish, how it goes.
And for those unfamiliar with the theory that was floated starting last week, Josh and I just kind of feel that they haven't been able to marry the run and pass stuff with the way that Josh Jacobs prefers to run the football, with the different blocking style, with running out of shotgun and Matt LaFleur offense. I think he's more comfortable. I think Jordan Love's more comfortable running this offense when they could be under center a little bit more typically than when Josh Jacobs is in the game. But the fact, Jason, that he admitted, like, well, I mean, maybe I should just be healthy for that game on Thursday. Like, the second you start having those thoughts, I think he should probably just sit. Right? I think you kind of come down on this being the helicopter dad / reporter that you are. Like, it to me, it just makes more sense to, hey, let's rest. Let's not do what we did with Brandon McManus and rush you back out there. If you gotta miss a game.
Here goes Gabe on the kickers again.
If you gotta miss a game, you miss a game. But now we know you're good to go for the final six, instead of, well, if you play, then it still might be good for Thursday, and then who knows what it's going to be like against the Bears the following Sunday. I guess I would just rather know, hey, for the next six games, he's good to go if he misses this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and as I said to Josh yesterday, Josh said, Schneidman asked him, you know, what's the worst case scenario? And he said the worst case scenario is I don't play on Sunday, and then I'm fully healthy for Thursday against the Lions, because I'm not, you know, I'm not missing any more games if I miss the game on Sunday. And what I said was, wait a minute, isn't the worst case scenario you play on Sunday, you aggravate your knee, and then you can't play in Thursday's game or beyond, you do enough damage that then there's question for the following Sunday? Like, again, you've got the Vikings, the Lions, the Bears, oh my, in a row here. And then you've got, you know, your two out-of-division games that you have left, going to Denver and then playing the Ravens. Like, that's a pretty tall order. Just play it safe, man. Like, this is – Emmanuel Wilson's got this. He can handle it for one game. But I don't think anybody wants to see Emmanuel Wilson be their featured back for the final six games, because Josh Jacobs plays in this one and then really does something to his knee. And look, he has played through stuff already this year, right? Mm-hmm. He had his kind of Michael Jordan flu game, which, as I told Josh, it was a little bit disconcerting to realize that he wasn't, he was just barely born for the Jordan flu game. And then, you know, then he played with the calf injury where we didn't know if he was going to play in Arizona, right? So, you know, he said basically he hasn't been healthy since before the Dallas game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe it's okay to take a beat, have a meal, and not play in one game.
Do you think, and I guess it's because it's football, so it's a completely different mentality, but this just popped into my head, Jason. Do you think especially once we go to an 18th game, which I think everybody agrees is eventually coming in the NFL, we see more of this, of guys kind of doing a load management game in the middle of the season just to make sure you're good for the rest of the year?
Well, I just to clarify, did you say mentality or mantality? Because I know you've got some, you've used that phrase before as well. All right, look, I think that we're not anywhere near the NBA load management realm.
And I'm not even suggesting that this is load management, because this is obviously a legitimate injury. And,
sure, right.
And obviously, like, to me, the NFL is just such a different mentality, just because even if you go to 18 games, like 18 versus 82 that you see in the NBA, it's just totally different. But I guess the NFL version, I guess, of load management in my mind would be a situation like this. Like, okay, mm-hmm. maybe if you miss this game, yeah, could you play? Yeah, but you're beat up because everybody is, because it's the NFL. Why don't you just take this game, let the backup handle it, and then you're good to go the rest of the way? I mean, I just see that potentially being more normal in the NFL future, especially once we get to 18.
Beautifully explained. You saved me the effort of agreeing with you. So, yes, I think that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Huh. All right.
Strofe.
No, that was good. I was kind of just kicking back, kicking the feet up, listening to you two discuss this, because I've talked to Jason plenty. I've talked to Josh plenty. Obviously, I'm Mr. Relevant. I talked to you plenty off the air. I just wanted to see how we would end on this at the end of the week, but I'm sure we'll talk about it more on Green Bay Game Day. Something else I want to talk about on Green Bay Game Day, but also want to talk to you about right now, Jason, is you told me yesterday on Weekly Will that you're not a big prediction guy, correct?
Very much correct, yes. People get very angry if you don't pick their team, which I just don't understand. But, yes, go ahead.
You did make a prediction on Weekly Wildy, and I don't know how firm you are in this prediction, but you said something to the effect of,
I don't even remember it.
it's obviously something he believes wholeheartedly.
You believe this will be the game the Packers finally start forcing turnovers consistently, because J.J. McCarthy has played in 5 games and thrown at least one interception in all 5 of them for Minnesota. Why does mm-hmm. this feel like the week that this defense can finally start turning over the ball to you?
Because Xavier McKinney told me so.
That's a good reason.
The good source will come, quote. Look, this is, they had obviously ample opportunities against famous Jameis last Sunday. I think, you know, they're pretty embarrassed, frankly, by how many they dropped. I mean, that's the difference, as we all know. You know, everybody wants the Packers to win every week 38-10. Well, you look back on that game against the Giants, that's exactly what it could have been, right? I mean, first of all, you take 2 touchdowns theoretically off the board because the interceptions occurred, and then they went on long drop. The interceptions were dropped, I should say. And then they went on the long drives that ended in touchdowns. 2 of the 3 times they scored touchdowns, it was with a dropped interception earlier in the drive. And then you convert those to points. Instead of it being 27-20, mm-hmm. you know, it's potentially 38-10 or 34-10, whatever it might be. So I look at this as it's, you can feel it coming like a earthquake, the pre-tremors. And I think that their hope is that this was one of those things where, okay, we didn't capitalize on it, but we're putting ourselves in better position. I will say this, and you know, I get teased because I have an affinity for Jeff Hafley, but the fact of the matter is that this is a huge hole in their otherwise impressive defensive resume. And if they're going to be anywhere close to where they want to get in the postseason, they have to take the ball away more. They have to give their offense short fields. They have to, you know, snuff out possessions by their opponents much earlier instead of, I mean, my goodness, 2 of those drives by the Giants, like, they lost the the time of possession battle 36-24, and yet they still won the game. Like, it just, that doesn't happen normally.
Mm-hmm. Jason, yeah. We've been waiting for a year and a half for one of these wide receivers to emerge. Somebody step up, somebody show. Is Christian Watson the only one in your mind that over the last 2 years has shown growth?
That's an
interesting question.
Thank you, Strolf. Took the words right out of my mouth. I would say this. I think he has, first of all, he's been incredibly impressive since he returned.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make you wonder where he'd be if Romeo Doubs didn't get the flu for the regular season finale and Christian Watson doesn't play, right? Because then he's got, theoretically, he's healthy all season, and now he's got 10 games instead of 4 games of what he's done this year. But he's been really, really impressive. I would say he had, obviously, a lot of room to grow. As good as North Dakota State is as a Division I AA or FCS school, he came in, and Tausch always teases me, misquotes me, but he was wiry. I mean, now mm-hmm. he's a grown man. Like, he's not just a skinny, fast guy. And so I think he's grown in a ton of ways, certainly in terms of he is so beloved and respected in that locker room on the offensive side of the ball. He just seems to do everything right. So, yes, I think he has shown a ton of growth. You know, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say that Jaden Reed hasn't. Like, obviously he had that stretch last season down the stretch where he wasn't super productive.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of those guys that was just banged up to beat the band. But he, you know, I think he's the other guy that I think you have to keep, in my opinion. And that's not a slight on Romeo Doubs. You know, I just think that those are the two guys that I would have the most trust in, and I'm curious to see if that's what ends up happening long term.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to those two specifically, like, they had, like, the knock on Jaden coming into this year after his first 2 years is, well, against man coverage, he kind of struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have the opportunity to show if that's something that he's improved upon because, unfortunately, got injured so right. early. For Christian Watson, granted, it's been a longer period of time, obviously, that, you know, than Jaden Reed, but he's just this, you know, you saw him as this tall guy. Oh, high point the football, win these jump balls.
Wiry.
And that's all we would want from him those first couple of years, Jason, and it didn't happen. And I think of the touchdown, as impressive as the throw was, the catch was just as good. And I don't know if Christian Watson 2 years ago makes that play.
No, and in fairness, and one of the other things I like about him and guys in general who own their mistakes, like when somebody tweets out the video of him defending against the deep pass and it hits
having
him
it
in the
back
helmet.
Of the helmet, yeah.
And somebody suggests that he should have caught it. Instead of ignoring it, he retweets it and says, yes, he should have. Like, I, you know, again, he's not perfect, but I think you're right about the level of growth. I think his growth surpasses any of his fellow wide receivers at this point.
I'm really hung up on the way you phrase that. He's the only one that's shown growth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
The Reed part is hard because he's hurt.
Because he's hurt. Romeo, I think, has shown growth personally. I don't think he's shown any growth on the football field.
He shows emotion. He celebrates now. That's growth.
He's the same player that he was basically since he got here.
Mostly reliable. I was actually surprised by the drops last week. I'm not too worried about that as a long-term thing for him. Is his play significantly better than it was a year ago for Romeo? The answer is no.
Same thing with Dontavian.
Well, shoot. You could argue it's worse this year because he hasn't played. Malik Heath. He's grown, right? Well, yeah, and then he gets suspended last week.
He did not get suspended. He got deactivated and left home. He was not suspended.
Yeah, but okay.
Do we have any suspension?
Do we have any answers on why, or they're just not going to tell us anything?
I asked him 6 ways to Sunday, and he all the things he said it wasn't. I have no idea then what it must have been. Like he's
just ran out of...
now he just He walks by and just laughs now because he knows that I think he's a knucklehead for not answering the questions.
Okay.
Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to you hearing you more on Wilde and Tausch, and we will talk to you Sunday at the Tundra Trio.
Jason, noon game. Be there at 10 o'clock, please.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is back. Black Friday at the Ewald Automotive Group. It's their biggest event yet. Shop with vehicles up to $10,000 off or 0% financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. Their biggest savings of the year, lowest interest rates, maximum trade-in values. Plus a huge selection because it's only at Ewald. Black Friday, it's back now at Ewald, every Ewald location. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Alex Strofar, Cousin Sub of the Day today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we get ready for Packers-Vikings Sunday at Lambeau Field. Packers looking to end a two-game losing streak at home. Which is disappointing because I thought they could maybe reestablish a home field advantage this year. But that's for
no, you didn't.
I did. We talked about it at length on this show.
But aren't you the Lambeau mystique doesn't exist anymore guy?
Mystique... The only reason any mystique exists place is because of the players currently playing. Like Chewy talked about all the time of they knew before the game even started at Lambeau that they would win because they were a dominant team. They were a great team. A
really good team.
And that's the only way you actually have home field advantage is like you have that mentality when you're at home, right? And I thought the way they played the first two games against Detroit, against Washington, I thought, okay, this could potentially be a really good team with a great defense, and that's how you make Lambeau Field a place. And Lambeau was rocking, too, right? Like, when you're playing that well, Lambeau gets rocking the way it was the first couple of games. Okay, this is going to be a true home field advantage. And now that's you lose to Carolina at home. And
I think that's out the window.
The window. But do you guys agree with the question that I asked Jason about, has anybody else shown you growth at that wide receiver position? Because it's a position that we have talked about a lot over the last 2 years. Going into last year, they're just so deep there. Somebody's going to emerge. Nobody emerges.
Yeah.
You think that maybe Jaden Reed's about to, and then he disappears for the final six games.
Yeah.
And so you come into this year, you add Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. I don't think we can talk about their growth as rookies, right? That growth happens certainly over time. I'm talking about the guys that have been here for at least 2 years. And because... you hear people talk about all the time that year 2 to 3 jump that people can make, that players can make. And I feel like the criticisms that we've had of some of the receivers that can be fixed, right? Like as much as I wish Romeo Doubs would be faster, he can't fix that. That's just the speed is what the speed is at this point. But for Christian Watson, when he initially came in, man, he's this big guy. What if he won some jump balls? And he's been more competitive on those jump ball situations. Because Homer and I feel like we joked a couple of times when I was doing Green Bay game night with Homer that you throw one up to Christian Watson, it's not a 50-50 ball. It's like an 80-20 ball the other way because he was just uncompetitive in those situations. And that has completely changed.
Totally.
Now, do I wish his ball tracking skills was a little bit better? Yes. And then you don't have the situation where he's trying to defend and the ball hits the back of his helmet.
Do I want Christian Watson to be Devontae Adams? Yes, I do.
Yeah, but it's a completely different skill set, right? And I feel like we've seen that growth of him being more physical, him being more competitive in those jump ball situations, him learning how to use his body to kind of shield defenders off of him and be able to make some of those catches. I keep going back to the touchdown that he caught to win the game against the Giants. I get 2 years ago, I don't think he makes that catch.
I don't know if 2 years ago Love makes that throw.
Well, that was just outside of Toyota-thon, so correct. He wouldn't have made that throw at that time 2 years ago.
Excuse me. Yes, you're right. I thought it was a really interesting question by you in the way in which you phrased it, because I thought you were just going to go simply with the question I think we all would say yes to, which is, has Christian Watson proven he's the most complete receiver on this team? I think since he's returned from that ACL injury, the answer's been yes. I think he's been a rock star in the four games he's played this year, dating back to that win at Pittsburgh. Now, the part about that question that I'm hung up on where I can't give you a total firm yes is the what if part with Jaden Reed. Because I thought he had a very nice start to the season, mm-hmm. albeit a game and a quarter against Detroit and getting hurt early against Washington in week two.
Three catches for 45 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, so I'd like to see what he is when he gets back, because obviously when you are missing the leading receiver for your team each of the last 2 years, well, that's going to be a hard question or a harder question to answer.
And he was attempting to play through a foot injury that...
which is now fixed. Packers to the bowl,
maybe
brah.
Maybe he shouldn't have tried to play through?
Probably not.
That had nothing to do with him getting his shoulder injury. Those were two just completely separate situations.
He's a tough SOB is what that means.
I think we learned that.
Very tough man. I am really intrigued to see when they open that 21-day window. I was hopeful it would be this week.
He was hopeful it was going to be this week.
I mean, tweeting pictures of himself getting all fired up. Yeah, so... when he returns, I'm really intrigued to see what the first 3 or 4 weeks for him look like. But to answer your question as it stands on November 21st, the answer is yes, Christian Watson is the only one who seemingly has made a significant jump. Not just a marginal, okay, yeah, he's a little bit better. He looks more like a vet now. Christian Watson looks like a true number one receiver each of the last 4 weeks, and that's only on 4 or 5 targets every week. If he starts getting the opportunity and the looks that a guy like Joshy Romeo Doubs gets, 8 targets, 9 targets, 10 targets a week, I think we're having a very different conversation about Christian Watson than even the one we're having today. But what we've seen through 4 games back for Christian Watson looks like he could be that guy who ultimately gets the first long-term extension. I know he got the year extension before he returned from the ACL, so you will have him and Reed and Wicks and Golden and Williams all under contract in 2026. But he could be the guy where next year when they're picking between those three, Wicks, Reed, and Watson, he's the one that's getting the long-term deal.
Yeah, I see the growth out of him. We've been waiting for that out of anybody. Oh, someone's going to emerge. Well, he's emerging. And when you see that, again, I feel like this is almost a weekly thing at this point where, okay, do we have to be giving Romeo Doubs this many targets? Well, do we have to be throwing the ball the way? And I don't think this is, by the way, just a Matt LaFleur thing. I think this is a Jordan Love thing where he trusts Romeo implicitly in situations, because there have been a few times where I've gone back and watched games and you see somebody like Matthew Golden running a similar route, an in-breaking route, and the ball just doesn't come out on time. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, oh, maybe that guy's on his hip. But if Romeo is there, I think Jordan throws the football because he trusts Romeo because they've had the longest relationship.
Yeah, he's been his go-to
Jordan,
guy.
I wish Jordan would trust guys like, and it seems like he does trust Christian because he's thrown a couple up to him, but I just wish he would trust more, you know, for somebody like Matthew Golden. Obviously he had some trust in Savion Williams throwing one up to him. I just wish he had more of that trust in some of the other guys than he does with Romeo, because
I mean, is it a trust thing? Is it an opportunity thing? Right? Is it just going through his reads and there's not a ton of number one looks for Matthew Gold? Right? I don't know. Right? Because it feels like.
But I don't think it's just a Matt LaFleur thing.
No,
I've been critical of LaFleur for a lot of different things. I think there's a Jordan Love element of, hey,
he's the one throwing the football.
Throw the football to him when he is that number one read, because again, there are times when it seems like he's there and he seems hesitant to throw the football for whatever reason.
It feels like we're in a similar but also very different spot from 2022, was it, with Rodgers when Alan Lazard was the number one receiver? It's like, okay, dude, throw it to somebody other than Alan Lazard. He's not very good. Yeah. Now, this
But the problem was...
nobody else was either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Watson was growing.
But the difference here is, I think we have, you know, if we look at the Packers roster, I think you and I would agree, the Packers have several wide receivers where you go, okay, I could trust him in a spot, right? Like that Savion Williams play last week on third down, not only was it a spectacular play by Jordan Love, it was a great adjustment and great catch by Savion Williams. And that was really the first big spot we've seen him in that wasn't a design dump off where, okay, you're getting the ball at the line of scrimmage, now go do something with it. It was the first opportunity where it's downfield, Savion Williams has to make an adjustment and make a play on the football. And that's a good sign. But is that a guy, a third-round pick rookie, that you're going to consistently trust in spots like that?
No, he only played 2 snaps. That was one of 2 snaps that he played on offense.
That's what I'm saying. I know he's
still in a walking
boot. Yeah, I was going to say he's dealing with that injury, so he's not on the field a ton right now.
He's playing without the walking boot and then slapping that sucker right back on and going out.
Slapping that sucker right back on.
Don't see that often.
No, you do not. Now, real quick, I know we got to get to break. But I mean, obviously, the take that you just talked about with Jason between you and Joshy has gotten more run this week on Josh Jacobs. But I think the thing that Josh has said this week that I agree with the most is something he said on Monday. And that is simply, I'm over Romeo Doubs. I like Romeo Doubs. I think he has a spot on this team and he has a spot on the field, but I don't think it's as the number one read. I don't think it's as the number one receiver.
Josh,
that's
how long
Christian
have
Watson.
We been having that conversation?
I feel like I've been screaming this from the rooftops now for the better part of 2 years.
Well, you weren't at a rooftop near me, apparently, because I missed this.
Josh and I have had this different conversation about
so
Romeo
in
Doubs.
In order, once Reed returns, in my opinion, for the rest of this season, as far as I'm aware, when it goes to opportunity, snap count, and targets, it should go in this order. Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, and List. And then obviously that's maybe for Romeo Doubs.
Look, I agree with you. I'm curious to see what happens with Jaden, just because, as we talked about coming into the season, they have only used him pretty exclusively as a slot receiver. And that affects his snap count when they don't line him up on the outside.
Let's do a truth serum here, because I think we probably, all three of us, agree the hierarchy he just said, Strolf, is probably the right one we think would probably work. You could probably interchange Golden and Reed based on like
in
matchups
terms of snap
and games.
Count,
yeah,
right,
I won't throw too big of a fit there.
Right, flip-flop them.
But
those should be,
in some order, those should be your top three.
Yes. Now let's truth serum. What will the order actually be when they come back?
Romeo Doubs,
Jaden, Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of what I think.
Yeah.
Because I think Jaden's almost certainly going to, if he's healthy enough and his snap count's able to get up there, they want to keep that short stuff, and he's their yak guy now that there's no Tucker Kraft.
Where does Malik Heath fit in?
He obviously doesn't.
Yeah, that seems to be abundantly clear.
Is Josh Jacobs healthy, yes or no, is actually the follow-up question there.
Josh Jacobs will be healthy, but Malik Heath ain't playing.
What they want to use him for his blocking ability, Gabe.
Yeah, from time to time, but not going to be that much.
I really want to know what he did, Malik Heath, to not travel with the team. I just really want to know. It's like the Romeo Doubs thing all over again. Now, it's actually
and we got to the bottom of the Romeo Doubs thing.
And I don't know that we'll ever get to the bottom of the Malik Heath thing, which is what's so strange about it.
Yeah, that nobody's saying anything about it.
Right, like at least in Dallas, right? CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens don't play the first series. Okay, they were at the casino too late. There's your answer. I want an answer. Is that too much to ask for? I just want answers, Gabe.
I wish I could give you one. I wish I could. Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Each crust, giant, original Cheez-It flavor cracker crust that's square-shaped, ultra-thin, super crispy, and of course, it's the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. And because it's made by Palermo's, you know they're going to pair great sauce, great toppings with that. So you can get it in Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. Plus, it has one of the shortest bake times. You'll be going from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Strofe, do you feel better that you are not alone? I mean, Josh and I have also been on this team, that you're not alone in the panic cleaning when the significant other is coming back home.
Do I feel better? No, I just figured that was the case.
He's figured everybody did it. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line. Dylan saying, panic cleaning 1,000%. I now budget time specifically for that. My free time ends 4 hours before she's back.
4 hours is crazy work. I gave myself about 90 minutes, and that was plenty. But that was cleaning the counters, it was doing the dishes, it was making the bed, which I never do when she's out of town. Never do that.
That's conspicuous. You can't go too far.
Yeah, look, I hate the hate might be strong. I dislike people that act like they're more of an adult than you, or they're better than you, or they have more of a routine than you, strictly because they start their day by making their bed. You're all full of crap. You make your bed when you wake up?
No, because my wife is still in the bed when I leave.
Oh, yeah, and that's probably the same for Josh.
Correct.
I typically wake up
although
second.
I now have to, I when I go home today, I will end up making the bed because my wife doesn't make the bed when she gets up because the dog now just stays in bed until I come home after I'm done with the show.
Oh, I love that.
So he just stays up there and she can't make the bed if our 70-pound dog is still laying on the bed. Fair. So that's kind of fallen in. And I love going to bed in a nicely made bed. Like there's just something going...
I'll do it before I go to bed. I'll make it and then get in it.
That doesn't make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
Just go to bed.
Yeah, but like when I wake up, the sheets are everywhere. Yeah. I especially if I'm sleeping alone. I roll, I move, I kick. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an active sleeper.
Make the bed and then go. That
I'll reorganize. Basically,
that's
like
probably
shift,
the better word.
Shift things around because like you, the dog will get in there,
yeah,
and the sheets and it'll turn a tornado. Cause sometimes we get the zoomies in bed, and then it's just everything's twisted up. So you got to get things back in sleeping position.
That's that golden energy though, right there. Yeah. The zoomies in bed,
but unless it's fresh sheets, I'm not making a bed. I'll make it look nicer, but okay. I'm not making beds. No.
All right. Can you pull that? Is the first thing you do in the morning make your bed?
But does Mussolini make the bed?
Not that often.
Okay.
But it's more of the... Now, when you say make bed, I'm thinking like making it look...
Yeah.
Like perfect.
Yeah.
Like you have guests over. No. Will she make it look nicer and sort of pull things, center things and put pillows back? Yeah, sure.
My girlfriend makes it 5 times a week.
Okay.
Which is absurd to me. She was gone for 5 days. I made it once, and that was before she got home.
I think it is a little more adult that just shows you're ready for a little responsibility. You know, hey, take care of the little things. Take care of the little things, and then the big things take care of themselves. That's the way I look at making the bed.
Say that one more time. That was a good piece of advice.
Take care of the little things, and the big things will take care of themselves.
You're a profound human. Do you know that about yourself?
Oh, that is something that has been drilled into me. That was something that my freshman football coach always said, it's the little things, gentlemen. It's the little things. Because you focus on those little things, and all those little things add up to a big thing.
What position did you play?
In freshman year, I was a quarterback.
Quarter or corner?
Quarter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I switched to receiver when we had injuries my junior year. Okay. So then I played, or my sophomore year. I was playing, I was still playing some JV quarterback, but then I was playing wide receiver.
People forget how great of an athlete Gabe Neitzel was.
I went to a small school. Everybody had to play.
You played college baseball.
Yeah. Did that.
Means you're a good athlete. People forget. I'm just saying. People forget.
Okay. We'll get to more Packers, Vikings. That is coming up next in 2 minutes. Jen, give me a treat.